This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A gunman's history. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, May 28th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
An investigation reveals that the man who opened fire at a transportation yard in San Jose had writings about hatred of his workplace.
Senate Republicans are bringing an end to the proposed January 6th commission. Hear how each side is pointing a finger.
President Biden today is expected to unveil a $6 trillion budget plan that would create record debt.
And anticipating and avoiding the biggest travel headaches of the summer.
A lot of the same issues that other industries are facing, right? Restaurants and other places that are having trouble hiring people. So travel has come surging back, and a lot of travel companies, travel providers, travel agencies, services, they weren't ready for it.
Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal on what travelers can expect in the coming weeks. A gunman who killed 9 people at a San Jose rail yard was once stopped by U.S. Customs officers who found that he professed a hatred of his workplace where the massacre occurred. The Wall Street Journal reviewed a Homeland Security memo that said 57-year-old Samuel Cassidy also owned books about terrorism, fear, and manifestos. Officers detained and interviewed Mr. Cassidy in the summer of 2016 after he returned from a trip to the Philippines and inspected his baggage and electronic media. The memo does not say why he was stopped. 9 people died after his attack Wednesday morning. Then he committed suicide. Santa Clara County Sheriff Lori Smith.
We initially said there were 11 magazines. Now that there's been a further search, we're up to 32 high-capacity magazines that he had. So it's a tremendous amount of firepower that he carried into the building with him.
Authorities have not released a motive. In court papers, Mr. Cassidy's ex-girlfriend said he sexually assaulted her. She also claimed he had bipolar disorder and, quote, major mood swings fueled by alcohol. A proposal to create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol is in trouble in the Senate. Most Republicans have lined up against the measure, and the bill needs 60 votes to advance. Since all 50 Democratic senators are in favor, 10 Republicans are needed for the measure to proceed. The GOP intends to filibuster to block the legislation. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on why he does not favor a commission.
I do not believe the additional extraneous commission that Democratic leaders want would uncover crucial new facts or promote healing. Frankly, I do not believe it is even designed to do that.
Former President Trump has urged Republicans in the House and Senate to oppose the commission, calling it a Democratic trap. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois.
Many of the Republican members are afraid of the man who incited this mob. They are afraid of the former president and what he'll say of them if we call for an investigation. They're afraid of Donald Trump.
A vote was expected late last evening, but procedural delays on a separate bill made the timing uncertain. A nearly $1 trillion transportation bill GOP senators have unveiled is a significant increase from an earlier Republican proposal, but does not include the social infrastructure or corporate tax increase President Biden wants. The plan rolled out yesterday relies heavily on unspent COVID-19 relief money intended for states and cities and remains far short of Mr. Biden's $1.7 trillion American jobs plan. More from Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. Joey, where are we now?
Well, it's moved up significantly from what was originally started out as a $568 billion infrastructure from Senate Republicans. Biden came down from what was a $2.3 trillion plan on his end to $1.7 trillion. So you see Republicans getting closer to Biden's mark. What's significant here is they're still sticking, as expected, with physical traditional infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways, airports, ports. and not paying for some of the items that Biden's wanted to in terms of electric vehicles, caregivers, that sort of broad, expansive version of Biden's infrastructure that they've continued to stay away with and stay away from. And they've also, you know, they're not proposing a corporate tax increase like Biden backs. Instead, one of the ways they want to pay for this is through repurposing already approved COVID money. So, you know, those two things listed right there, that's still some disagreement with the White House. And so it remains to be seen whether they're going to be able to, the two sides are going to be able to hammer out a deal.
Right. So at this point, I mean, they've gone back and forth a couple of times. You know, what does history say that if they've made this many offers that something is likely to get done, or is that not even a rule?
Well, the White House, Jen Psaki on Air Force One heading to Cleveland told reporters that, you know, they find this latest proposal encouraging, that the Republicans did move up their offer. And so, you know, reading between the lines here, if Biden wants to truly strike a bipartisan deal, if he wants to vote for something that has Republican support, A, it's going to have to only be traditional infrastructure, so not the social infrastructure, human infrastructure, putting those terms in quotes that the Biden has talked about. So it can't include that, and then it can't include a corporate tax hike. And so what Biden could do, and what I think is a scenario that we'll need to be watching here, is try to pass something on the front end that addresses only physical infrastructure. It's kind of similar to what Republicans have put forward. And then later, Biden could, via reconciliation, try to pass his, you know, some of these other programs that he wants to support, the investing in caregivers, electric cars, paid family leave, all these other things he could maybe do in a separate bill via reconciliation that would require only a Democratic, you know, just all Democrats stayed together, a majority there. But the problem with that, you know, is that all, you know, not a single Democrat, he couldn't lose a single Democrat in order to pass it, assuming all Republicans vote against it. So I think, you know, that could be where we're going towards, is where you have, you know, all this broken up into separate pieces of legislation.
Mm. We're speaking with Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. His piece is called GOP Senators Pitch New $928 Billion Infrastructure Plan in Latest Offer to Biden. So the odds of that happening, like an upfront physical infrastructure and then on the back end maybe social infrastructure, as it's called, as a one-off through what reconciliation, the odds of that are growing? Is that your sense?
Well, I mean, for the White House to say that they found this encouraging, I mean, it wouldn't be, they certainly didn't look at, I wouldn't think the Republicans' tax plan and some of their other eliminations encouraging. You know, they still said that they hoped, you know, they want to pay for some of these things. Such, they listed them out, things that Republican counteroffer does not address, that includes fixing our veterans' hospitals. This is quoted from Shinsaki. Building modern rail systems, repairing our transit systems, removing dangerous lead pipes, empowering America's leadership in job-creating clean energy economy. So the plan doesn't address those things, but they still find that the fact that you know, they're increasing the dollar amount encouraging. So, you know, I mean, ultimately they're going to have to recognize what Republicans will pay for, and it's not all those things. And so, you know, I do think Biden has an interest in passing something with Republican support. I mean, he's, and so I do think there's a decent shot that that is what we are looking at.
Thanks, Joey. Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies' summer sale event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's summer sale event. Thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. President Biden today is expected to introduce a $6 trillion budget that would highlight his plans to modernize the nation's infrastructure and expand the government's role in providing health care, education, and other social services. The Wall Street Journal says his first budget would put the nation on a path to spend $8.2 trillion annually by the end of 2031.
The fiscal year begins October 1st. Under Mr. Biden's plan, debt would exceed the record level seen at the end of World War II within a few years.
We want to lead the world in exports of these new technologies. Instead of ceding the global market and job creation to the Chinese.
The budget request is expected to detail the proposals Mr. Biden has already laid out in his infrastructure and family aid plans over the past few months. Those plans, which anticipate sharply higher taxes on corporations and the wealthy, will eventually generate enough revenue to offset higher spending, according to Biden administration officials, but will add to deficits in the meantime. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A gunman who killed nine people at a California rail yard where he worked appeared to target some of the victims. While a Biden administration official said the shooter spoke of hating his workplace when customs officers detained him after a 2016 trip to the Philippines. FBI Special Agent Craig Fair.
At this point, we have no indication as to what his motive or ideology that might have driven that motive was at this point. And we may not ever get to that.
57-year-old Samuel Cassidy arrived at the light rail facility with a duffel bag filled with semi-automatic handguns and high-capacity magazines. He had worked at the Transit Authority since at least 2012.
Number two.
President Biden is warning naysayers in Congress not to get in the way of his big infrastructure plans as the White House panned a counteroffer from Republican senators to tap unused COVID-19 relief for a more modest investment in roads, highways, and other traditional public works projects. After touring a manufacturing technology center in Cleveland, Biden held up a card with the names of Republican lawmakers who had rejected his coronavirus aid bill, but later promoted its assistance when they were back home in front of voters.
I'm happy they know that it benefited their constituents. That's okay with me. But if you're going to try to take credit for what you've done, don't get in the way of what we still need to do.
The arguments are dissolving into a debate over the size and scope of what all sides agree are sorely needed upgrades to the nation's infrastructure. 10 states, mostly in the Northeast, have now reached President Biden's goal to vaccinate at least 70% of adults with at least one dose by July 4th. And there are new studies indicating immunity may actually last for years, not months. Two studies published this week show people who had been exposed to the virus a year ago had cells that retained a memory of the coronavirus that strengthened over time. The good news, the fans are back. The bad, they're as obnoxious as ever. The Knicks, 76ers, and Jazz have banned five fans from their arenas and issued apologies for incidents during playoff games this week. The Knicks banned a fan from Madison Square Garden for spitting on Atlanta guard Trae Young. The Sixers banned a fan who threw popcorn on Washington's Russell Westbrook. And the Jazz said three of their fans were banned indefinitely following a verbal altercation with Memphis guard Ja Morant's father.
So you make the effort to buy a ticket
after all this time
to go to a playoff game after being confined at home for some time.
Right.
This is the way you behave, and now you can never go to a game again.
Yep.
Do you think these folks have similar incidents in their past aboard airplanes?
Perhaps.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's belaysolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for joining us with Memorial Day here, a traditional time for backyard grilling. It's no wonder America has dedicated May as National Hamburger Month, and today specifically as National Hamburger Day. More on what you may not know about burgers from hamburger historian Chris Carosa, author of a book called Hamburger Dreams. Chris, what stood out in your research?
What stood out to me the most was the fact that there were so many different stories. There were about four different stories, maybe four and a half, depending on how you count, and they all seemed very adamant as to their veracity.
Meaning what?
Meaning they all sounded like they were true. And it was kind of interesting to see, you know, how could so many people both be so certain that what they were saying was true? And what kind of evidence did they have? Now, the amazing thing that I found out as I researched these is that almost all these stories were first told decades after the event occurred. So we were playing with people's memories, and we didn't know, well, did they remember the details correctly? Was it even possible that they could be true? And what I used when I went through the research is I used classic crime-solving techniques. I mean, we're going back to Sherlock Holmes, eliminating the obvious, or eliminating the impossible, I should say.
Okay.
You know, those are the sort of things that I had to do as I went through each of these stories and determine, well, is it possible that this could be true, or is it just totally impossible? It can't be true.
All right, so one that's always kind of struck me, and since you've done the research, I'll ask you, why do we call it a hamburger when it's ground beef?
That's a great question, and actually the answer is more obvious than you think. There was an article in the 1930s, I think in a new North Carolina paper. There's a town called Hamburg, North Carolina, and they questioned whether or not the Hamburg sandwich, which is what it was originally called, was invented in Hamburg, North Carolina, or whatever it was. And it was somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek article. They weren't making any sort of real claims. They were just saying, hey, what if? And they listed about 30 different towns in the United States that are named Hamburg. And the obvious answer is Hamburg, Germany. A lot of people think that it was Hamburg,
yeah,
Germany, where the hamburger was invented. And, in fact, McDonald's had a public relations effort that backfired on them when they went to go give the mayor of Hamburg, Germany, a certificate thanking him for inventing the hamburger, for his city inventing the hamburger.
Jeez.
And he came back to them and said, no, we never did that.
We're speaking with Chris Carosa, hamburger historian, also author of a book called Hamburger Dreams. Does this mean you're a hamburger enthusiast?
I guess I'm a hamburger enthusiast. I mean, I like hamburgers just like everybody else.
Is it true, but the numbers I'm looking at in your notes here, $50 billion a year we buy and or eat?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, those numbers are, they may be even more now. You know, it's probably the world's biggest business. And in fact, I think in the book I call it the history's second greatest invention. And if you think about what the first greatest invention is, and you imagine fast food, what does fast food require? Cars. What do cars require? Wheels. So, you know, the top two inventions ever come together with the hamburger.
Hamburger historian Chris Carosa. Again, the name of his book is called Hamburger Dreams. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Have you ever bought something online only to find out right afterwards you could have saved money? Sometimes you don't know. You just see that little promo code field that makes you wonder, is this the best deal I can get? Well, now you'll know, thanks to the new shopping tool called Honey. You've heard me talk about Honey before. Just start by shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you're ready to check out, the Honey button drops down. All you have to do is click Apply Coupons. If there's a working coupon, Honey finds it and your price drops. It's that easy. Honey has found coupons that save their 17 million members over $2 billion. I know because I'm one of them. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Gordon. That's joinhoney.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, May 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The San Jose gunman had writings about his hatred of his workplace. Two cops in Tacoma, Washington, charged with murder after a man died during his arrest. Senate Republicans shelving the January 6th commission. President Biden to break debt records with his budget proposal. Titans cornerback Janoris Jenkins had his car stolen from Atlanta Airport. Question, why are you parking your $250,000 Rolls Royce in the economy lot? And volunteers help a Tennessee man with Parkinson's. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, along with sunscreen and masks, you're going to need to pack patience when you head out on your summer vacation. The travel ecosphere is not ready for big crowds, even though they are coming. Here to set the scene, Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what are we facing?
a lot of the same issues that other industries are facing, right? Restaurants and other places that are having trouble hiring people. Travel has come surging back, and a lot of travel companies, travel providers, travel agencies, services, they weren't ready for it. When they needed to start hiring, they just weren't ready to do it. They weren't sure that this really was going to rebound this way. They were still struggling financially, so it was very difficult to prepare for this. And now they're left unprepared. And so even TSA, for example, in February realized they were going to be short screeners for summer. They put out a call. We're going to hire 6,000 screeners. They've hired 2,000. They've got another 1,000 in the pipeline. But they told me that they're not going to be at full strength until September 30th. Well, that means they're not going to be at full strength for this summer. And travel may well be, at full strength this summer. It's the same story at hotels. It's the same story at airports where concessions still aren't open because they don't have enough workers. A big problem I've already heard from people are wheelchair pushers. Good luck. People end up waiting a long time and miss their flight, waiting for a wheelchair. And another huge problem is at airlines with their phone lines. Where it's almost like a triple whammy. So one leg of the problem is they reduced the workforce in the pandemic, and now they're having trouble hiring people back. The second problem is that just at the top four airlines, there's $10 billion worth of credits and vouchers out there, and airlines have made them really confusing. It's sometimes hard to redeem them online, and so customers end up calling. How do I use my voucher, my credit, or I want to apply it to this? That's generated a large call volume. And then the third leg is just people calling about masks and rules and where can I go and how do I get a test if I'm overseas? And all those questions that we have about travel, a lot of people are picking up the phone to call the airline and finding that it's a 3 or 4 hour wait.
Huh. Is an airline or are the airlines hiring people for customer service jobs too, in addition to trying to ramp up elsewhere in the operation?
Yeah, no, I think it's sort of throughout. Yes, airlines are trying to hire customer service jobs. In some cases, airlines got federal money to keep pilots, flight attendants, mechanics on the payroll because that was an essential service. And imagine if they were, had only, three quarters of the pilots they needed. That would be a whole nother mess. But they do have those folks. But the other folks didn't get all that protection. A lot of them took, early outs. They offered buyout packages, early retirement, all that kind of stuff. Some of them just left because, there wasn't any work, or they didn't want to be out in public and being exposed to COVID.
Jeez.
And now getting people to come back is really challenging. And it's both, I think. I think some of the workforce are not ready to come back yet. And some of these jobs take a lot of training. A TSA screener has to go to the academy and it takes a while to get someone hired. The Port Authority in New York and New Jersey, they're trying to hire bus drivers, taxi dispatchers, people, all throughout. And that's going to affect your airport experience in many ways. It's the same with hotels. I got to a hotel recently, one clerk at the check-in desk. So there was a long line. Every time the shuttle van pulled up, there were more people in the line.
Jeez.
It's a lack of staff.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, what were the Pittsburgh Pirates thinking? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp.
BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, even though baseball has been around for over 150 years, every once in a while, something happens that nobody has ever seen before, and that happened yesterday afternoon in Pittsburgh. In the third inning of a game between the Pirates and Cubs, Cubs star Javier Baez hit what appeared to be a routine ground ball to third base. The throw to first pulled the first baseman off the bag, however, and he elected to try to tag Baez rather than step on the bag to get the force play. So rather than give up, Baez turned around and started running back toward home plate, buying enough time for a Cubs runner to score all the way from second base. And as shocking as all that was, because there was two outs in the inning, the Pirates still could have saved face by simply throwing the ball to first to finally force Baez out, but nobody was covering, and the ball sailed into right field. The clip of one of the weirdest plays anyone has ever seen has been watched millions of times. Mm.
I don't understand why he didn't turn around and just go to first base.
Right.
I know the throw pulled him toward home plate.
Right.
And the runner was coming at him.
But just turn around
and take three steps and step on first base.
That would have been the first thing. But then he, at any point, they still could have done that. At any point, even after the run scored, they still could have thrown the ball to first base and got him out at first. And the run would not have counted because there were two outs in the inning beforehand. So at any time, they could have just went back to first base and stepped on first and chose not to.
Did that first baseman skip spring training?
Yeah.
Or a lack of situational awareness?
I don't know.
Shocker, by the way, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who made a mess of this, are in last place.
Yeah,
go figure.
They're not having a good season. They are once again rebuilding in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And we know lots of humans are getting set to travel this weekend, so why shouldn't the animals get to vacation as well? Officials said a young alligator traced back to the Louisiana Bayou traded the swamp for sandy beaches. The gator showed up earlier this week on the beach about 25 miles southeast of Corpus Christi, Texas. National Park Service rangers found it and checked its tail notch and tags on its rear feet to determine it had come from Louisiana. How it got to South Texas remains a mystery, but its spring break ended abruptly as rangers took it to a rehabilitation center to recover from its journey. While alligators can tolerate salt water for a few hours or even days, they are primarily freshwater reptiles living in swampy areas, rivers, streams, lakes, and ponds.
Yeah.
That's a long swim in salt water
for
a creature that's not really used to that.
I wonder what that conversation was like with that alligator and his friends, you know.
Yeah.
Said, fellas, I got to get out of here. I need a break. Yeah. I'm going to Texas for a little while.
I mean, you know, cooped up like we all have been in the pandemic, just looking to travel like the rest of us.
Right. These creatures have not been around since the dawn of time because they're stupid either, right?
Right.
What would you rather do, live in a swamp?
Right.
Or have access to a nice sandy beach.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree. I would make that choice as well.
You're right. That's a long distance. Thanks, Mike.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL. For a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's summer sale event.
Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Good dietary habits can have lasting effects. No shock there, right? People who ate one cup a day of nitrate-rich vegetables had lower blood pressure and a 12 to 26% lower risk of heart disease. That's according to data from more than 50,000 people who took part in a 23-year-long diet and health study. MarketWatch examined the results and found the nitrate-rich vegetables recommended by the researchers included leafy greens like kale, arugula, chard, and spinach, as well as beetroot, parsley, Chinese cabbage, celery, radishes, and turnips. Cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death around the world, killing nearly 18 million people annually, including 655,000 Americans, or one in four of us. It is also the biggest killer in the U.S., ahead of cancer, and as most recently, COVID-19. Nutritious hacks include making a spinach, banana, or berry smoothie as an alternative to a side dish. Blending leafy greens is fine, but don't juice them. Experts say juicing vegetables removes the pulp and fiber. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Republicans are poised to block the creation of a special commission to study the deadly January 6th attack at the Capitol, dashing hopes for a bipartisan panel. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia questioned the GOP's opposition.
It just doesn't fire me. It's just honest. Very honest. And I think, hoping that we have enough good Republican friends that look at it from the standpoint want to get the truth out.
Broad Republican opposition is expected in what would be the first successful Senate filibuster of the Biden presidency. A vote was put off from yesterday to later today.
Number two.
The Senate has advanced a bipartisan bill that would bolster U.S. technology and scientific advancement in a bid to outcompete China. The legislation includes a $190 billion effort to advance U.S. technology, along with a separate $54 billion measure to bolster semiconductors, microchips, and telecom equipment production. Countering China's growing global reach is one of the few agendas lawmakers have crossed party lines to agree upon.
Number three.
Three Tacoma, Washington police officers have been charged in the death of Manuel Ellis, a black man who pleaded for breath under an officer's knee. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson charged officers Christopher Burbank and Matthew Collins with second-degree murder yesterday after witnesses reported they attacked Ellis without provocation. Monet Carter Mixon is Ellis's sister.
So the fight is far from over. Yes, these three officers are getting charged. Hopefully we can see them in jail. Hopefully I get my wish and I get to see them in an orange jumpsuit.
33-year-old Ellis died on March 3rd of last year, tasered, handcuffed, and hogtied with his face covered by a hood. At least two people have died and 10 others are missing after a boat from Cuba overturned off the coast of Florida. Eight people were rescued yesterday afternoon, 16 miles southwest of Key West. Multiple units are searching for the remaining passengers who were on the boat, which flipped. The people behind this obviously have too much time and money on their hands. Rolls-Royce is designing a 19-foot limousine that may be the most expensive new car in history. The convertible with a tapered rear end features a proper refrigerator, designer crockery, and a giant parasol at the back.
Oh, man. Wow.
You want to buy that or ride in it?
I was going to say, was that $3,000 an hour, probably? Take me to the grocery store and back.
There you go.
Coming up next, volunteers help a Tennessee man with Parkinson's. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. A Tennessee retiree with Parkinson's disease wanted an American flag for his birthday, but he couldn't put it up. WATE Television tells the story of Bill Yardley, former police officer and father of an active-duty Air Force serviceman. That's been severely limited in what he can do by the illness, so he reached out on the Nextdoor app to ask his Knox County neighbors if he could borrow someone's power screwdriver to install it. Coincidentally, he happened to leave and go to the doctor's office, but when he got home, an anonymous Good Samaritan had already installed the flagpole. Another one dropped by and raised the flag. Mr. Yardley says he was moved by the Tennessee volunteer spirit. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.